Praise the Lord, church. Praise the Lord, church. How many of us were at the worship night as our presiding elder had already met? How was it? Awesome. It was really awesome. And would encourage that next time around, make time, and you'll never be the same. You will never be the same. Coming 1st May is a holiday. The church is planning something like waiting retreat, a time that you come and wait on the Lord. For just half a day, sacrifice your breakfast and have your lunch after 12 as you come and wait on the Lord at the same place. And you never regret you get involved. You really have an encounter with our living God. So you can start thinking about it and planning about it. Also, I just want to take this time to just announce about the prayer activity that goes on in the course of the week. We have prayer activities that run from Monday to Saturday in the evening. And if you want to know more about the location, the time, you can talk to me or our brother, Brother Richard, who just prayed. Yeah, he also knows more about the activity that run through the week. So you can talk to any of us and we can show you where the location is and you can also be part of what the Lord is doing among us. This morning I'm privileged to talk on a character by name Barak. And our main text will be taken from Judges chapter 4 and Judges chapter 5. And in this particular text, I came out with a short title, Has Not the Lord Commanded You to Administer Justice by Faith? Which I think it goes to all of us. Has not the Lord commanded you to administer justice by faith? And the text that we'll be looking at immediately is Hebrews chapter 11. The verse 32 and 33, which I'll quickly want to read it. It reads, And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of prophets. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, through wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. Shall we come before our living God in prayer? Our King and everlasting Father, once again we are grateful unto you for all you have done. Your awesome power, Lord, that holds the universe together to give us peace in the state of chaos, Lord, around us, Lord, and even in our working conditions, in our family life, yet your peace is within us. And so, Father, we are grateful unto you for the fullness of your presence over your church, GICF. We thank you, Father, for this morning, for the life you have preserved unto your glory. We pray that, Lord God Almighty, you would have your own way in the midst of your people. That as your word comes forth, it will be healing to the sick, Lord. Father, your word, Lord, will cause those that are dead once again to be revived and rise up, O Lord. We ask that your word will cause the dumb, Lord, to speak. Those that are deaf in hearing your word, Lord, even when you speak that they can't even discern, may your word bring illumination to their ears, O Lord. Father, we deepen ourselves into your blood. The blood, O Lord, that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. This morning, let that blood speak to our lives, our life situations, and transform us by the word that, Lord, you will speak to us, O Lord, in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, verse 11, so for thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. In this particular text, the Lord is making it very clear to our understanding that it is He that is in that business of searching and seeking His sheep out. He Himself is in that state of trying to get us out of slavery and sin. And His searchlight had not gone dim. It's still on a high light, still searching and seeking to take us out of our failures, to take us out of our mess in this life. The children of Israel, once in their life, found themselves in that state of sin and oppression after the death of Ehud, whose administration saw them through 80 good years of rest. But as soon as he passed away, they drifted away from God and found themselves in the hands of their enemies, who oppressed them for 20 good years. The Lord, who is the searcher of our soul, the one that seeks for our soul, didn't abandon them. He kept searching for them and He kept seeking after them by causing them to desire more of Him. And so His work of seeking was still on their life in spite of their waywardness. And so the Bible says that they called on God. And the passion that came on them to call on God, the Bible says in Philippians 2:13, that it is God which works in us both to will and to do His good pleasure. And so the passion that came over them to desire or to think of somebody to come to their aid was as the working power of God over His children. And so they saw that there is a hand somewhere that will come to their aid, and they cried unto Him. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 33 verse 3, that call on me and I will answer thee. And as they called, our faithful God did not turn deaf ears to their call. He answered them, and He brought them a deliverer. Beloved in Christ, our living God is still in that same business of answering our calls, no matter our state in life, how deep we might have fallen. If we remember that there is a hand somewhere that is interested of our being, our well-being, that is interested of our success, and we call on Him, He will certainly answer. I just want to paint this interesting picture that is in the book of Amos chapter 3 verse 12. That talks about a shepherd that went in the rescue of a lamb and as a result happened to recover only the legs or the ears from the mouth of the lion. And in this particular picture, we could see the lion, which is the symbol of the devil or the devourer. And we could see the lamb or the sheep, which has been devoured as we, the people of God. And we could see the shepherd, which is Christ Himself, coming to our rescue. And in this particular situation, the rescuer happens to recover only two legs and the ear. And to us, maybe it may look very hopeless because the whole body had already been torn and destroyed by the lion. And so what they use for the leg? What they use for the ear? The head is no more. What is the importance of the ear? The body is no more. What is the importance of the legs? But then, before the eyes of our living God, this is no defeat. This is no hopeless situation. As long as it is in the hands of the living God, it is enough to bring back the whole body. It's enough to stage a comeback to the life that was destroyed, and even a better one. If only it was found in the hands of the shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. Should it be found in any other person's hand, then fine, it's really of no use. But if it's found in the hands of the one who have called us, who formed us for His good pleasure, then for sure, there is nothing like waste before Him. And that's exactly the situation that happens to the children of Israel at that moment. Our living God is not interested of our defeat at this moment. He's not interested of our disappointment, our discouragement, our torn dreams and visions, our expectations that have not been met. He's not interested of all those failures in our lives. But the very thing that is interested in our life now is our readiness
to use our ears to listen to him. That's all he wants. Our readiness to avail ourselves with our ears to hear him when he speaks. And not just to hear him alone, but to act with a courageous leg. Having that leg that he recovered, it's a courageous leg. If only you entrust yourself in listening whatever God tells you and obeying them and having the courage to embark on it, you can come back and even be better off than where you were some time ago. When you felt life has then deserted you, our living God is still in that business of recovering us from our downturn kind of maybe finances, our marriages that are breaking down, our children that are going wayward. If you have the ears to listen to him, if you have the courageous leg to take bold steps as he instructs our life will never be the same. This morning, Barak, that we are going to study about, was ready to listen. Barak, that we are going to talk about, was ready to obey. Barak, that we are going to talk about, was ready to take an action with his courageous leg, in spite of all odds that he was faced with. And can that be said about us? In our passage today, God, through a prophetess by name Deborah, a wise and a holy woman, gave two instructions to Barak, a military general from Naphtali, which by faith Barak listened, obeyed, and acted upon the word that was spoken to him to administer justice over the enemies of God's children. Are we ready this morning to also listen? Are we ready this morning to obey? Are we ready this morning as we live here to put into practice whatever God is instructing our life to do? The very first instruction that God, through the prophetess Deborah, told Barak was listen and obey. In the book of Judges chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, the Bible says, "Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor? Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and of the sons of Zebulun, and against you I'll deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, which has chariots and his multitude at the river of Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand. Has not the Lord told you?" And so at this point, Barak was re-echoed the words of God into his ears. Deborah emphasized again what God has already told Barak. And that could be your situation this morning. Maybe God might have spoken to you, but you lack the courage. You lack the strength to exercise what God is telling you. The things you have to avoid, the things you have to do, the things you have to encourage. You lack the courage. But this morning he's again telling you, has not the Lord told you? Barak listened and obeyed the call of God despite the overwhelming odds. By faith, he was able to answer the call and administer justice amid all odds. Beloved in Christ, our calling in this particular life that we are in always is attacked with so many odds. Your odds may be different from my own because of maybe the assignment of God upon your life. But whichever case it is, it is something that is going to intimidate you. It is something that is going to cause you to feel that you don't matter or you cannot meet it. Or there is no way you can measure up to that standard. But I'm here to encourage you that we are not supposed to allow those odds to determine our destiny. By faith, Barak rose above those odds and overcame them and therefore could be counted among the men in the hall of faith. And so what are some of these odds? The kind of odds that Barak was faced with seems to be very common to every believer. And the very first one that I want us to look at is, they had drifted away from God. That is Judges chapter 4, verse 1. The children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. Again, they did evil in the sight of the Lord. Again, we have fallen into that sin. Again, we have gone back into that life That state of anxiety, that state of depression, that doesn't honor God. What we said we will not do, we've gone back to them again. We are caught up with those events again. Even though we are children of God, born again, Holy Ghost filled, yet we go back to those mess again. The Israelites at that time could not abstain from sin. They almost every time go back and commit something that would let the wrath of God come upon their life. And for us today, we also get ourselves involved in such situations. And as a result of their sins, the Bible says God gave them up to their enemies. They lost the covering of our living God. And the Bible says that the soul that sins shall die. Genesis 2, 16 and 17, Ezekiel 18, 4 and 20. But we, the people of God in the new covenant, the book of Romans 6, 23 says that, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ our Lord. And so this death that the Bible is talking about is a spiritual separation that happens between man and God. And if care is not taken and we continue in our evil, it results into a physical death. And so the Lord is admonishing us this very day that when we get ourselves into sin, it separates us from Him. And as a result, if care is not taken, our enemies are able to overcome us. They are able to destroy us, even our physical body, because we've made ourselves vulnerable to the attack. And as we look at this situation, maybe you look at yourself and you realize that you are also in that same stage or that same condition. And you think that you've fallen so deep that there's no way for you to come back. But I'm here to encourage you that have faith in our living God. Because Barak had faith in God. He believed in God and obtained the grace that we are enjoying today. And that gave him the courage to carry on his assignment that God has for him. Our Lord is still calling on us. In the book of Isaiah 1 verse 18, it says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as white as wool." Our living God is still calling on us. It is not us that are seeking for him. The Bible made it very clear from the beginning that he is still searching and seeking for us. And so that attitude of our living God is still at work today. And so he's calling us. Say, "Come now, my son. Come now, my daughter." Whichever state you are in, he has the power to make you to be whole, to give you cleansing, forgiveness. And so Barak stayed at that moment with his whole community. He had faith in God. And as a result of that, obtained grace before God to overcome all that particular obstacle of sin, being drifted away from the things of God. And so the Lord is still calling us. If we will respond to him, he will shine upon us and we will also shine. Barak has faith and therefore obeyed and overcame the state of sin that they were in. The second odd that we can see when you read the book of Judges chapter 4, the verse 3, they had not known rest for 20 good years. Judges 4 verse 3 says, "And for 20 years he there was Sisera had harshly oppressed the children of Israel." This army commander for 20 good years had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. The people of Israel are being oppressed at that moment and were under bondage because they had forsaken their God. No one to plead for them. No country that comes into alliance with them to help them out. Like in our case today, maybe you might have been struggling all your life. Things had not been good. When things are about to turn up well, all of a sudden something happened. And you seem to be struggling on one thing upon the other. But I'm here to tell you that Barak and the people of Israel at that stage were also in that same condition. They were also struggling. They had not known peace for 20 good years. They were struggling. The burden was so much on them. They thought the life had come to an end for them because there's no deliverer. And they called on God.
The burden may be too heavy for you. The burden may be too much for you to bear. But then we have a shepherd who is able, to take off that burden off us. We have a shepherd who is still searching for us. We have a shepherd who is still seeking for us. And all that this shepherd is interested of is our willingness to listen to him when he speaks. This shepherd, all that is interested of is our willingness to obey when we hear him. This shepherd, what is interested is our willingness to gather courage and exercise our faith. And that's exactly what Barak and the people did. And so when you read something in the book of Matthew 11:28, the Bible says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Here too, our Father is still calling. He said, "Come to me." We are not the people that are going to him. He is still searching and seeking for us. So your situation, God is interested of it. He wants you out of it. That which you are faced with, God is interested of it. He wants you out of it. That burden is too much for you. He can carry it for you. If only you have the ears to listen to him. If only you have the ears to listen and obey, and you have that courageous legs to move away from that thing that is destroying you and attempt the things that will give you life. If you only have that courage to move, our living God will be at your aid. Beloved in the Lord, sometimes we resort into maybe number of maybe degrees in life to think that that will set us free from oppression. We resort into maybe positions or maybe acquisition of wealth, securities, and so many things in life. But I'm here to tell you that none of these things could give us rest in life. When you read something in the book of 2 Kings 2:27, it happens during that time in Samaria that there was an intense famine as a result of the Syrian army besieging the children of God. And they cannot even get out of their walls. And so they resort even killing their children and eating them one after the other. And so it happened that one woman, seeing the king walking by, he called for help. "King, help us." And this was the answer that the king at that moment gave to them. He says, "If the Lord does not help you, where can I find help for you?" And that is to assure us that the whole governor or the president of the whole nation was incapable of helping his citizen. Who else? The one who has the signatory to the whole treasury of the country cannot bail you out of that mess. Then who else can do that? And here that person is confessing that if God does not help you, where can he find help to help you? And so he is also depending on God. So why then do you depend on man? Why then do you depend on systems created by human beings? Things made by people, and you are trusting in for your security, for your relief. It will not give you rest. Barak, by faith, came face to face with his destiny by trusting in the Lord, the one and the only one who has the power to give us rest. And he obtained that rest for himself and the people of Israel at that time. The last obstacle that he was faced with was the strength of his enemies. 900 iron chariots, vast number of army, and he meeting an experienced army commander, Sisera, was a great obstacle. Because at that moment, they don't have official army. They don't have well-trained people to meet these people. And that can be found in Judges 4:13. So Sisera gathered together all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people who were with him. Barak led a force of 10,000 untrained men as against Sisera, the commander of King David's army, who had 900 iron chariots and a vast army. And in those days, warfare, those iron chariots could be likened to tanks of our day. And you know how tank is very dangerous, very intimidating, and very deadly. But today, when we liken tanks to nuclear weapons, tanks too doesn't match. And so it's like you having tanks and you want to face a country who is fighting you with nuclear weapons. There is no hope of winning. And so that was the state. And it's very intimidating. Their strength doesn't match up anywhere. Yet, Barak knew something very different. He knew the report of the Lord concerning that situation. And that makes the difference. He knew that God had already declared his judgment. And the judgment is that Sisera and his army would all be destroyed by him. And so all that he has to do is to listen to God's instruction, obey, and take a step of faith for God to finish his work. The situation seems insurmountable. There is nothing that matches you up. Yet he had the heart. He knew something different. He knew the report of the Lord concerning that situation. He knows that all are saying that there is no remedy to that particular sickness. Yet he knows that the report of the Lord says that I am healed. He knows the report of the Lord concerning that situation, that I'm not going to be laid off from that job, even though of that redundancy. He knows so well that that is what the Lord is saying. And so he's not moved. He believed the report of the Lord. He knows that people are saying that these days men are leaving their wives, wives are leaving their husbands. And it's about to happen to me because my husband has taken a different turn altogether. He doesn't seem to agree on anything. And that fear had gripped you. Is that the fear report that you are believing? Or you are believing the report of the Lord that says that what he, God, has put together, no man must put asunder? Which of these reports do you believe? The report you believe will determine your end result. Because Barak believed the report of the Lord at the end. And for that matter, gave him a different perspective towards the situation. And as a result, God came in and he was able to overcome. The second thing that Barak knew at that moment, and for that matter, I just want to read this scripture in the book of 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20. It says, King Jehoshaphat stood before Judah and the people in Jerusalem and said, "Believe in the Lord your God, so shall he be established. Believe also his prophet, so shall he prosper." Barak believed God and the report from Deborah, the prophetess. And for that matter, God established him and made him to prosper. God expects us to believe him so that he would establish every word concerning your life. He had big and mighty promises for your life. But for those promises to be fulfilled, he needs your consent for you to agree with him, for you to believe in him that he is able. And when you do that and you believe in his word, he would cause it to prosper in your life. Barak knew something very opposite to that of the world. He knew that he who looks to the Holy One of Israel in battle shall never be put to shame. He knew something that the world, today if you tell somebody, look up to Christ in your crisis, he then begins to, oh no, that's old life. But the current life is not looking up to God. Look up to yourself, look up to your connections, look up to your resources and things around you and resolve that problem. Stop talking about God on this issue. That is what the world knows. He has given you wisdom, he has given you understanding. Why don't you solve the problem yourself? Yet you have somebody who gave it to you, so that person knows better than you do. Why don't you look up to that person to help you resolve that particular situation? And so Barak at that point knew something opposite to what the world knew. And so he looked up to the Holy One of Israel. In Isaiah 31 verse 1, the Bible says, "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord." By faith, Barak looked to the Holy One of Israel, the mighty one who has control over everything. And therefore, God instructed his life as to how and what to do. And for that matter, he was able to overcome. This day, who are you looking up to bring about a change? Maybe your situation may be like, as I stand here, you have a little strength within you. And before your adversaries, you could see that there is nothing that you could match up with them. Your strength is almost gone. And you find that all friends might have deserted you. Nothing to give you advantage over the situation. Therefore, you are thinking about giving up. Don't do that. You just hold on for a minute and fix your eyes upon Jesus. Look up to our Lord, the Holy One of Israel. He is the one that can turn our defeat into success. All he needs from us is our readiness to listen to him, our readiness to obey, our readiness to have a courageous legs and exercise our faith. If we will have that and come before him, the Bible says he himself in Revelation 3, 8 and 9, he says, "For I know you are of little strength." God is not ignorant about your situation. He is so much aware to the very detail of it. He is not ignorant about your suffering, of all that you are going through. He is aware. He knows about it. He said, "I know that you are of little strength," and therefore he will come true for you. He will come true in that situation. He will vindicate you. He will establish you. He will heal you. He will restore you. What is it that you are looking for that the Lord can help you out? If only you'd have the ears to listen to him, to obey him and act upon his word. He says he knows your strength. He knows how far you can go, but he has no limit as to how far he can go. And he will fix that situation for you. Beloved in the Lord, in a moment like this, we sometimes resort into looking to people for help, looking to our finances, looking to government, looking to authorities, looking to connections. But I'm here to tell you that look nowhere else than our Lord Jesus Christ. Look not to government. Look not to your connections. But look first to our living God. If a helper will come, if God doesn't touch the heart of that person, forget it. If somebody will help you and God doesn't touch the heart of that person, forget it. No matter how hard you cry, how thick your tears will look like, being like the clot of blood still would not move that person. But if God touches the person's heart, you are not even asking for it. The person will be chasing after you, that I have to give this to you. That's here the word of the Lord. And so it's good we all focus on our living God. Look up to this Holy One of Israel in all your crises, and he will show you where your brook is. He will send his ravens to come and feed you, and you will never lack until his time with you is over. Amen. The last kind of command that was given to Barak was, "Rise up and go." The verse 14 say, "Up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera unto your hands." Rise up and go. Having overcome all these odds and gathering these untrained men together, these 10,000 men, Barak need to rise up. Barak need to exercise his faith. And that time of action cannot be substituted with anything. Should at that time Barak be found sleeping, what do you think would have happened? Would it have been successful? No. Should Barak at that moment rise up and walk, and he says, "Oh no, I'm tired, let me have some, maybe 3 hours more sleep," that would have been very disastrous to the children of Israel at that moment. But quickly he rose and then launched into attack. And so is it that the Lord is requiring from us, that a time of action is a time of action. A time to engage in prayer, spiritual warfare, is a time of prayer and spiritual warfare. Not any other thing should substitute that. A time for coming for rehearsal on Saturday to get ready for Sunday is a time for rehearsal. It's not a time for meeting friends. That is what happened to King David when all men, kings, were supposed to go for war, and he remained in Jerusalem. The Bible says the enemy came around, and he wasn't able to overcome that temptation. That brought a great disaster to his reign and his family. And so it is that the time that you are supposed to rise up and launch, if you fail, the enemy will visit. And when he visits, it's likely that you will not have the needed strength to stop his works. And because you are at the wrong place, at the wrong time, you will be forced to do a wrong thing. And at the end of it, it will end up destroying so many things in your life. And if you have to come back, it will take you so many years for you to get back to that stage. And for you to avoid that, you need to rise up immediately and act. And that was exactly the command that was given to Barak at that moment. Rise up and go. For that is the time God has for you to defeat Sisera and his army. The time for you to be victorious is now and no other time. The time for you to overcome is now and no other time. And nothing should substitute that. Give yourself to what God is instructing you to do. And do it wholeheartedly. And see whether you not overcome. The children of Israel had to rise up and to overcome all these. So in this state, does that mean that Barak is a perfect man? The answer is no. Barak wasn't a perfect man. Barak was not a perfect person. He was among people who had left the Lord and were doing evil. He was not obedient to God's command until the prophetess Deborah called him and rebukes him of what God is asking him. He entertained fear about God's command, therefore demanded Deborah to go with him. All these flaws make it very vivid that he wasn't a perfect man. And we could be, some of these things could be found in our own lives. It could be in different forms. Yet Barak had the courage and trusted God. He humbled himself and obeyed what God spoke to him through the prophetess Deborah. And so if we would also humble ourselves before God and look up to Jesus, we overcome all these odds and we overcome the works of the enemy over our lives. So, was there any consequences of his fears? The answer is yes. There was some consequences that came as a result of his fears. And in Judges 4, 8 and 9, and Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." So she said, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." Barak missed out of the honor because he did not believe the word of the Lord fully. He settled for the second honor. And most of us in life, in one way or the other, might have mixed our perfect honor that the Lord has for us as a result of our lack of commitment, our lack of readiness to obey, our lack of faith, lack of zeal. We might have mixed our perfect honor. But the Lord is admonishing us this very day that if we obey him fully, we will be in his glory. And so the Bible says that Jael, the wife of Heba, the Kenite, killed Sisera and took that honor from Barak. That is Judges 4, 17 down to 21. You can see the full story over there. And this particular thing just reminds me that God could have accomplished the whole task without even Barak. He could have done it easily without even Barak. But yet he was so interested of Barak's life, like God is interested of our life today. It's not because we are righteous, we are special, no. God can still fulfill anything in this life without us. But it's a privilege for you and I, for us to partake in his honor and his glory, that we can be with him at the end of the day. That is why he is giving us opportunity. He's searching for us, seeking us out so that we can be people that can honor him. When I think about this and I look about myself, one thing I tell myself, should God need me? Maybe Genesis would have been changed. Because it would have been better for God to have created Adam and Eve first. So that if he need water, Adam, get me water, so that I'll water the birds. Or maybe if he needs some help in creating all other things. At least, as long as human beings are around him, they could have offered him help. But we were the last people God created. That means he doesn't need us. He doesn't need us. He could do everything by himself. He's all doing. And so it's a great privilege for us as children of God to live in his honor, in his obedience, so that we can all enjoy his glory. We can be with him at the end of the day. Beloved in the Lord has given us such an opportunity. He gave it to Barak. Barak embraced it. In spite of all the odds, the difficulties, the challenges, he stood up and he obeyed. He listened and he acted with all that he had. He had nothing. He was a general. Yet he has no professional army. Untrained men. Yet God used them to fulfill his purpose. This morning, in conclusion, Barak was called to declare not his own motivated justice, neither of the justice of his family or his background, but the Lord's written justice over the children that were opposing the children of God. That is Sisera and his army. In Psalm 149:6-9, the honor of us as his children is to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with feathers of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. The written judgment, the judgment that God had already passed, had already written down that the enemies of him had to face. You are sick not because of who you are. You are attacked by sickness because you love God. Your situation will be bad because of your love for God. And so the enemies attracted to your love is as a result of your commitment to God. And so you personally don't have an enemy. It is the enemies of God that are attacking God through you. And God has given us honor to execute his written judgment over them. And so that is what we have to praise God about. Our God has not left us as orphans. He has given us all that it takes to overcome him, the enemy. Because it is not because of us that you are going through what you are going through, but because of God. That is why the enemy is attacking your life. And yet God has not left you unprotected. He has given you all it takes. His written judgment for you to declare. And if you trust him and you declare it, it will come to pass in your life. Finally, as we come to an end, the chapter 5 just talk about the songs that they sang to praise our living God for the victory that they have had over their enemies. And for that matter, we also encourage to be grateful to God whenever God sees us through anything in our life. In songs, in whichever way, we should express our appreciation unto our living God. And so the last line reads, "There was peace in Israel for 40 years. Shall we bow down our head in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, once again, we are grateful unto you. We thank you, Father, for your word that has come to us. And at the end of it, Father, your word declares unto us that there was peace in Israel. Father, may this peace also rest in your church. May this peace rest over every family that is gathered here. May this peace rest over every working condition here. Every situation that is faced with chaos. Lord, you are the Prince of Peace. May you reign over all situations. Give us your everlasting peace, the peace that the world will not understand, because we are of you. And lead us on into perfect, Lord, obedience to your word. And the willingness, Lord, to act by faith, that we'll be able to administer justice over your enemies, for your name to be glorified now and forevermore. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.